We're in a cotton area. I farm anywhere from bio sand to mixed soils to the clay soils, and then what I call the rice field clays. Cotton has pretty much been what paid the bills through my farming career. We grew grains just to fill in the marginal acres. And through the 80s, we increased cotton production on fields that we always or earlier had considered not cotton ground. Stale seedbed production, we started in 92. We put cotton on still tougher clay soils and did it with quite a bit of success. But because of this, we didn't rotate. I've got one field that has not been in cotton twice since 1937. I have to take Dad's word on one of those years. But a lot of our cotton, we haven't rotated in 30 and 40 years. I've been seeing the need. We've had problems with organic matter. Stale seed bed has helped that somewhat. But diseases, nematodes, we had a field in 93. We had the state record that year for reniform nematode and realized that we had to do something. Yields had dropped down in the 700s and 800s, and we just certainly couldn't live with that. Didn't have a corn header. We had grain equipment, so I put half of it in rice. That was as far as we could go with the water problems or lack of water. And nematodes dropped dramatically that year. We came back and put 100 acres in corn. We got the whole area back in. We found out that it takes 2 years to drop a severe nematode population. And we had a 200 bushel corn year that year, got $2 for it. Just really couldn't live on those numbers, and in 06 we had no corn. But in 07, when prices came up, the need to rotate, try to do something for the soil, we put in 1,100 acres of corn. 500 of it came out of cotton. Had a very successful year. Where we came in on the cotton soils, our yields were 200 to 260 bushels to the acre. I think last year it certainly paid more than cotton at the prices we were receiving. And we're going to rotate back into something else, back to cotton, soybeans, and try to pick up some new acres this next year. One of the things I'm trying to do is go into some fields that really need some organic matter, some tonnage put back in the soils while corn prices is good. So I feel like cotton's going to come back. We're certainly not out of the cotton business. One of the problems that we ran into in 05, we ran a flail mower and disc bedders that year, and we found out that we couldn't run an inculpivator or do all or anything to kind of knock the top off the row as we had been doing in the stale for a number of years. This past year, I started with a disc. I double disc some and tried to bed it, and we couldn't hold the bedders. We went back and ran a chisel plow across it, crossways, and two more disc trips, and we still couldn't hold the bedders, and I decided that wasn't going to work. We tried going back and just running the hippers and maybe a roller, and we kept balling up in the middles, and that was going to present irrigation problems next year. So we decided to look into the no-till direction and made some phone calls. They've been doing it up north for a long time. So we're going to go into the residue managers. We're going to try to knock a little trash off the top and just go in and no-till behind this corn. I've no-tilled behind cotton many times. I've done it behind soybeans. I know the concept works. We've got the chemistry to do it. So we've just got to figure out how to handle this residue. One of the problems you can get into is making a wall, and these closing wheels will prevent that. We're going to rig up at least one planter with the closing wheels and the trash managers. One of the problems, I knew we'd have plant bug problems, but I didn't realize how severe. And I also thought we wouldn't have plant bug problems until the corn got to the stage you're looking at here where it started drying down. But quite honestly, it started as soon as the silk started turning dark. We started having movement in the cotton fields. And my range was 13 applications on cotton right next to corn, to as little as 3 applications on cotton that was quite some distance from corn. We barely much controlled them, and like Angus said, we had to move it into twice a week sprays before we finally got control. My daughter's farm, she had been scouting it for a number of years, and she accused me of not even spraying the fields for about a week. And I finally had to show her the records where we had done it because she just kept going out in the field, and she said, "Daddy, there's just as many out there as it was the last time I scouted it, sometimes more." The economic loss, I think it really started peaking in 2004. I think if this slide went on to 06 and 07, we'd see it going out the roof there. Plant bugs have really become the number one insect in cotton with the use of BT and all. And boll weevil eradication. One of the things I think Cotton Incorporated was paying this project. We encourage university trials, on farm trials, and it's a lot of trouble. But we've always asked them to come out, or they would ask us to do a field. This was done on a droughty field that we could get in a day or so after a rain or irrigation. And as you can see, the automatic treatments actually cost yield. It's very, very important. And this is from pinhead to bloom. Very, very important to scout. Very important to use a black drop cloth and maybe back it up with a sweep net. On full plant searches, just does not work on my farm. In summary, this was showing a 40-pound lint decrease. I was thinking, I remembered Gus telling me it was 100 pounds back when this was done in 06. But either way, there's a reduction in yield as well as the added expense of making those automatic applications. And I also feel like in resistance management, we need to be careful with that. We need to try to hold on to the chemistry that we have. Next problem that I guess Northeast Arkansas is the first place to have it. We've been pretty immune to it until a year or two ago. I've been running in my stale seed bed burn downs 2,4-D tank mix with Roundup for many, many years. Ken Smith, our weed specialist has encouraged me to go to Clarity, which we've been using a generic Banvil, which was much cheaper. I don't have any escapes in my fields as far as horseweed. I'm starting to see it in my neighbor's fields. Quite readily now. They're still sticking on straight Roundup, and it's going to have to go to a tank mix of either 2,4-D or Clarity. Pigweed has not been that much of a problem in our area. I think there was a field confirmed about 30 miles away this year. So I think we're going to have to be running a yellow herbicide and make sure we stay away from that problem. One of the things we've been looking at for several years, we planted it, I guess the first year they introduced it, was Liberty Link from Bayer, or Fibromax cotton. There's been a little bit of a yield drag in the past years, and so we've not gone more than maybe the 20% that we didn't plant in the boll guards. They're starting to get some varieties. Last year we had a field that had seven varieties in it, and there was two that was outstanding. The one, I believe that's 835, will be commercially available this year. And this was on a clay soil. It was a well-drained clay soil, a pretty tough field. It is precision leveled. And I think this really presents some opportunities. This is one heck of a herbicide. If you've got morning glories, it will fry morning glory regardless of size. I haven't really found any weakness on it. Pigweed, they tell me it has to be small to kill it, but at this time, when we've sprayed Liberty, it's done a 100% effective treatment. So I look forward to these varieties, and I think there's some new chemistry coming out 2 years from now that's really going to make a difference. As I said earlier, horseweed is just not that much of a problem. We've been preventive rather than proactive on it, rather than waiting until it hits us. Just a little show of the spread there, and as you can see in southeast Arkansas, it's here. So we're going to have to start watching that weed. Pigweed, it's also growing in resistance, but I think we can manage it. We certainly don't want to get to this point right here. Being in a stale seed bed for many years, I've worked hard to figure it out. We'll start spraying anytime it gets dry enough in February with a tank mix of Roundup and Clarity. It's absolutely essential to be clean the day you plant, and that's just proven through the years. This one's a biggie. We got these prices in mid-December, and I was really shocked. I had booked some corn a few days earlier, and I didn't realize fertilizer had done this. I think we're going to have to really look. We've had 3 years of studies, Cotton Incorporated funded, and we're finding about 60 units seems to be the magic number, whether the field calls for any potash or whether it calls for 60. I think we're going to spoon feed it, maybe even go back. If you're taking a little more out with three-bale cotton, just put in what you use. Same thing with DAP. Urea, about 120 units seems to be our sweet spot. Dry-wise, we've been using our P&K. Is going out with a buggy. We've got pans that we put out 4 feet apart for about 120 feet wide, run through the system the same direction twice, measure the material, and the university has a program that will help you calibrate the buggy, whether you need to make adjustments on the buggy or just simply adjust the swath on it. And you'll really be amazed at what wind can do to a swath. As far as our pattern. 32%, we're really getting into that. I think we can save some cost, or at least some loss on nitrogen. We're running a 440 Ravens controller where we can try to do a little better job of controlling, and also we have rate 1, rate 2 for soil type. And the driver just simply changes that rate as we go through the field. As we get to the heavier soils, we go to rate 2 and we put out the little extra nitrogen. Water management, that's been a biggie for us. 80% of our diesel goes into irrigation. We've been doing termination tests. Again, Cotton Incorporated has sponsored the test, working through the university. Around 500, 550 heat units has been the spot to stop termination. We found out that you can irrigate to 900 and not cause any more boll rot than stopping at 5, but why spend the money? 350 is where we're starting right now. We're having some yield loss stopping at 350. We're having to go to 500. A new study that we just had 1 year in, again, Cotton Incorporated is funding that one, where we start initiation at an earlier stage and trying to determine if we can stop at an earlier point with our irrigation. We had a total of 9 studies, 4 reps this past year, and the month of July that we had rainfall pretty much screwed that one up, so we look forward to year 2 and 3 on that. We also had this on a sandy and a clay soil. In the end, I think this is what it's all about. I try very hard to use university proven practices and field studies to put the inputs in that's necessary to produce a crop and not throw the kitchen sink at it. We've got an area close to me that they'll spend $10 to make a pound of cotton just to try to impress the landowners to rent more acres, and I just don't think that's going to be cost efficient in the end. Appreciate your time. I hope this has been a little bit of help.